Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Paul Hamilton.
I just love this reggae music. It's my favorite of all time. I wish they would just play this on autopilot. Never turn it off. It's just so great. I love it so much.
On WGR.
Yes, that is our Paul Hamilton, and he joins me right now on the West Her Hotline. Paul, joining me as I sit here today at Buffalo Sports, 3840 McKinley Parkway in Blaisdell. Paul, when you were growing up, like, could you not wait to get to the sports store and get all the equipment? Did you have to have all the newest equipment with mom and dad, or were you okay with like hand-me-downs and stuff?
Well, it's funny. When I got into hockey, I didn't even know what hockey was. I got a thing in school. I was 7 years old. Oh, Amherst hockey. And I went home. I want to play this. And they're looking at me like, what? You don't even skate. And I had no idea what I was asking to play. So their idea was, let's take him to, and they'll just tell him he can't play because he can't skate. And well, we get there and they go, no, we'll teach him how to skate. So we had to go get equipment. And it became a rather costly,
yes.
costly hobby for them. But I'm actually the one that I wore the equipment out. If you saw some of the equipment I have now, and I haven't played
You're raggedy,
probably
huh?
since 2003. But, yeah, if you saw some of the stuff I have now, it's pretty ancient.
That's why we have places like this, like Buffalo Sports. People can come out here and you know, they can replace that raggedy equipment. Paul, maybe we can buy you some new
Well, if I ever get back into hockey, I will head right out there because I will need
it.
Some.
Yeah, I'm sure. Hey, Paul, when the hell are the Sabres going to hire a coach?
Well, I think right now they might be looking at guys that are still going. I mean, whether it's Chris Taylor or Sheldon Keefe, or, you know, they might have some guys on some assistants. Maybe they have their eye on some junior coaches. Who knows? So, yeah, it's not something I think they're going to be in a big hurry on. They didn't hire Phil Housley right out of the gate, but Phil Housley was involved in the playoffs with Nashville for quite a long period of time. So, you know, I think, you know, you can get a natural assumption that maybe the guy or guys they have their eyes on are still going.
I agree with you. Would that include, what, assistance from other teams? Is it possible it could include any head coaches that could lose their jobs if and when they get eliminated in round one? Is that even possible?
It's possible, but I'm looking through, and I don't know if any of these coaches would lose their jobs. I mean, Vegas, San Jose, no. Colorado, Calgary, no. I don't think Peters even know they got upset by the number 16th seed. I don't think he's going anywhere with the regular season they have. Definitely. Well, St. Louis, it is an interim thing, but how could you not make Berube your coach unless he doesn't
right.
want to be?
Boy, if
other
he hit the
that,
market, wouldn't he be a pretty valuable commodity?
Well, he wasn't a hugely successful coach before getting to St. Louis.
Right, sure.
So I don't know. Yeah, I think you would have to weigh it that way. Nashville, Dallas, no, they're going to stay. Pittsburgh, it's a possibility, but I think Pittsburgh right now, you take a look at what's happening. I think their window has closed.
I'm with you, buddy.
They need to do a Blackhawks thing there. And start getting rid of some of the older guys and getting a little bit younger. And I don't know. For me, it would not include firing the coach. Okay. I just think right now that team is that's done its winning and it's time to move on. Carolina, Washington, no. But people want to say Babcock. I'm sorry. I don't see Babcock getting fired. Even if the Bruins come back and win that series, win the next two
either.
And win that series, I don't see that. And Cooper's not being fired. So, no, I don't think there's any coaches right now that are involved that would lose their jobs.
All right, so let's stay on this Pittsburgh thing for a second because obviously you have Jason Bottrell who has the connection to the Penguins where they plucked him from. Obviously he was an assistant GM there. If they do start selling parts, is there anyone that could be a guy on the radar, a guy that they could – is Phil Kessel someone like that, maybe an older player who has experience, an option if the Sabres wanted to, you know, say, hey, if you're going to rebuild, you're going to push off some things, who would be likely types of candidates?
Phil Kessel's not a locker room guy, and I think he's to a point now that, you know, he had a really down season with some good hockey players. So you got to wonder if maybe he's seen his better years. So, no, I would not go after Hornquist, but between the two of them, I would go after Hornquist before I would go after Kessel.
Okay.
I was kidding with Jeremy the other day. He tweeted out, well, look for the Penguins to – or look for Botterill to start trading with the Penguins. And I wrote back, who do you have in mind, Malkin? You know.
Right.
But you know what? As I'm laughing, but – you know, they might be open to that, you know, especially if they're going to get younger and they can find somebody that might want Malkin and can give you a lot for him. You know, that might be something they might consider, you know, looking at. And I was kidding, and I don't have any information saying the Penguins want to trade Malkin or anything like that. But, I mean, in a situation that the Penguins are in, now the Blackhawks, when they did their thing, they didn't trade Taves or Kane. They kept their two superstars. But a lot of good hockey players, or maybe over-the-hill hockey players, wound up going. So it'll be interesting.
What would a guy like Chris Letang cost?
Quite a bit. I mean, and I don't know.
He's
31.
He's 31 right now, going to be 32 next. Well, he just turned 31, I guess. I'm looking at it. What would it be? No, I'm sorry. He's going to be 32 literally in 4 days. I'm looking at his birthday, 32.
See, and that's the thing. That's the case I make against Erik Karlsson. Mm-hmm. You know, Erik Karlsson is a different situation. That's an unrestricted free agency deal. I'm not going to give a guy like that 7 years. He's on the back end now. He's
right.
He's not Erik Karlsson anymore, and hasn't been during this year at all with San Jose or his last year in Ottawa. I mean, his best years are way behind him, and you know, there's no way if I'm the Sabres, I'm looking at Erik Karlsson. Letang, I think, still can play, although mistakes have been creeping into his game more and more as he's on the other side of 30. I want players who have won, but I just, you know, Kyle Okposo is on the other side of 30. He was the number one free agent of his class, and that hasn't worked out for the Sabres. And I don't know, you do need veterans. And I always say I was talking to a guy who played the game in the NHL who said to me, you know what, the Sabres need a guy like Justin Williams, you know, who's won some cups, who still is relevant and still can play. If Letang can be that guy and still can play, I would think about it. But, you know, Williams is like a bit of a freak of nature. I mean, he still plays at a high level. And, you know, he wanted to be in Carolina. He had been there before. He's won the Stanley Cup with a couple of different teams. And he's great for that team. And I think the guy who was telling me this said he would be a great guy for Eichel, somebody Eichel would respect.
He's 37 years old.
Yeah. I'm not saying get him. You're not going to get him.
I know. I'm just looking. I didn't realize. Man, my gosh.
But look at the way he's still producing.
What about a Jack Johnson? 31, going on 32.
He's not. I think we'd be hearing he'd be getting compared to Scandella. I think.
Gotcha.
A lot.
He doesn't really help move the needle that much.
Yeah, I don't see he wouldn't really make their defense all that much better. He maybe better depth if you're thinking of him instead of Hunwick at the end of the defense. But no, that wouldn't be an idea.
Paul Hamilton joining us here. Sabres in the middle of a coaching search, or at the end or at the beginning. We don't know. They're somewhere in the coaching search. So what do you make of Chris Taylor if he is indeed the coach? As far as, you know, what he's done in Rochester and what his prospects are from what you've heard, you've talked to people about the way he could translate to the NHL.
He's interesting, and if, you know, they lost 4-1, they played pretty well from what I read yesterday, and I'll be there tomorrow to see their game. But you know, they lost 4-1. It's a best three out of five, so you don't have a lot of time to recover. And if they don't get through this series, that'd be 2 years in a row where the playoffs did not go well, but yet the regular season did. I mean, his first 2 years, he winds up in the playoffs, and the Amherst weren't making the playoffs for a while. So, and you know, he's done a very good job in developing some players there, in Olofsson and Asplund and Borgen and C.J. Smith, and the list goes on. But there have also been guys like Gouley who regressed with him. He couldn't get anything out of Baptiste or Bailey. You know, they pretty much regressed under him, and or stayed the same, I think, in Bailey's case. Hudson Fashing was a guy that the people were high on, and by the he played one playoff game, and they had to pull him out of the lineup. He was so bad last year, and they wind up just trading him away. So there have been a few failures along the way, but I think more successes. I think he is a very good developmental coach. But I would have, I mean, if they get bounced out of this first round again, I would have some question marks saying, well, I don't know. Is he a guy that can just get you so far? Or, you know, what is the deal here? Because they certainly underachieved in the playoffs last year. They were awful in the playoffs last year, except for actually Justin Bailey. He was their best player, and he was about the only one that showed up for the playoffs. And they were really bad. Now, from what I read, they weren't bad last night, but they still wound up losing the game 4-1, hitting posts, missing open nets, you know, all the things that equal a loss if you can't put the puck in the net.
What about Sheldon Keefe? It seems like his name is starting to have a little more buzz around this.
Well, you take a look at names that the Toronto Maple Leafs have in their lineup, and here's a coach that has won the Calder Cup, was a winning coach with the Sioux Greyhounds before he showed up in Toronto to coach the Marlies. He is an analytics guy. You know, he's big in possession. He's big into analytic numbers. So the analytics crowd would love him. So, he would be a little bit different that way. But, I mean, you look at the Leaf roster and some of the guys that he's been able to develop for them. Trevor Moore is a guy. Connor Brown is a guy. Nylander is a guy that was down with him that he – Kasperi Kapanen is a guy that he developed down there. I believe Zach Hyman might have played for him. I'm not positive, but I think he did. And the list goes on. So, Gauthier is a guy that played for him. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the guys that are contributing for the Toronto Maple Leafs right now were developed by Keefe. So he, too, appears to be a very good developmental coach.
He's 38 years old. I'm not saying that's too young. We have NFL coaches younger than that. But in this sport of hockey, we do have guys who play a little bit more into their 30s. Would he have to earn that respect, or would he come in pretty much because he played the game, because of what he's accomplished at other levels? Would he have that respect walking in the door?
Coaches would have to earn respect. This is a tough crowd inside that Sabre locker room. There are a lot of entitled youngsters in that room who really don't care to respect much of anything. And and I keep saying this, what blows my mind is Brian Gionta, the disrespect he was shown. I mean, that's just a missed opportunity. That is a Stanley Cup winning captain. You talk about a leader, that's a pure leader. But the entitled guys, they didn't care. They didn't listen to him. He might as well have been Tyler Ennis for all they cared. I mean, and so that's a bit of a problem in that room as far as trying to gain respect, whether you're a player or a coach.
Speaking of Tyler Ennis, playing for the Maple Leafs, obviously, they win last night. They now lead that series 3-2. What do you make of this series? Have they been the better team, or has this just been – it seems like a pretty even series to me. Any game could go one way or the other. Have they been the better team?
Unfortunately, with the Frozen Four and everything, I haven't been able to see a lot of
it. Gotcha. Yeah.
But you know, I've been trying to keep up with it and seen some of it. Well, from what I've seen, it's been an even series. And I got to admit, I'm a little surprised Toronto's ahead 3-2. I thought Boston would win 6 at the most. I don't believe in Toronto's goaltending and Anderson and Boston still can win this series. I mean, Boston is a team that easily could win 2 games here. They're very capable of doing that. But I'm a little surprised the Leafs are up 3-2 in this, and they certainly have the talent to do it. I just didn't think they had the defense or the goaltending to do it.
Yeah, well, here we are, and now obviously if they advance, I believe the way it works out, they would play Columbus, correct? That's how
that is correct.
The bracket,
yeah.
Bracket works.
I mean, crazy.
Out.
3 teams have advanced. The number 13th seed, Columbus. Number 16, Colorado, and they beat 1-2. and number five Islanders, you know, they beat number nine Pittsburgh, and I thought Pittsburgh would probably prevail. I didn't know if the Islanders would translate into the playoffs, and I found out quickly that they would. So, you know, they're the higher seed, so it wasn't an upset. You know, good for the Islanders. I mean, to be able to continue to play the style that, you know, they're overachieving without a question because they're listening to their coach and they're doing exactly what their coach wants them to do. Plus, they're getting the saves. I mean, their save percentage with both their goaltenders is out of sight. And when you get the key save at the key time, that keeps you in hockey games.
No doubt about it. And by the way, speaking of the Blue Jackets, I do believe that that is a guy, John Tortorella, that if they had lost in the first round, he probably would have been out of a job because there's probably a rebuild coming there after some of these after these free agents leave, like Duchesne and Panarin and Bobrovsky. But I think if they would have lost in the first round, I think John Tortorella could have been a viable candidate here in Buffalo.
With everything they did at the trade deadline, I think it possibly could have been. But, you know, the analytics crowd loves to hate him. I mean, they every time he fails, it's like, see, the dinosaur lost again. Why is he even in the league? And then he'll come back someplace else and pull something like this. And, well, now you do see why I'm in the league. He hates analytics. He downplays them. He insults them and everything else. But, you know, he went out and took out the top team, a team that set records in the regular season, and not only took them out but swept them and got behind 3-0 in the first period of game one and still won that game. So he's got to be doing something right.
What do you make of Steve Yzerman going to Detroit? What kind of job does he have on his hands? Because that you talk about a rebuild there. They still have a tough go of it, I think, the next couple of years.
Yeah, well, he pulled it off in Tampa Bay, you know, built that team, and I think everybody knew that he eventually would wind up back in Detroit. And, you know, so it's not like he's not the hockey czar people are talking about because he's going to come in and do the GM. And they're just moving the other guy upstairs as a executive vice president or president or whatever they're going to call him. But the next thing I know, he's sitting there saying, I'm the one who wanted Yzerman back, and I'm the one who kept talking him back. And next thing I read, he's a candidate for other GM jobs along the way. It's like, well, it sounds like you were just kicked upstairs because the Detroit Red Wings wanted Yzerman back. And, I mean, this is a guy that's been the GM for years in Detroit and has won Stanley Cups there. Maybe he's getting tired of it there. Maybe he wanted to bring back Yzerman to take over because he wanted to move on. Who knows? But it's something that I think everybody expected eventually would happen, and it did.
Our Paul Hamilton joining me here, just a couple more minutes left. Paul, I want to shift gears to the draft. I know you're not knee-deep into the players yet, but just the philosophy of what Jason Botchel should do here with the 7th overall pick. He's in a tough spot, I think, because that's a very valuable commodity that could help this team in the future, and we saw Tim Murray trade away those types of assets. But at the same time, this team needs to start winning, and the only way to do that might be to use those assets to go get some players right now. So what do you think his approach is? What do you think it should be as far as that 7th pick and whether using it or maybe trying to spin it to get, you know, something to help this roster now?
Well, he's not going to get Kako or Hughes. I mean, we know that since we know where he's drafting. It's interesting, in 2 years he's drafted, he has not taken any major junior players. It's all college players and Europeans that he's taken, and I think that's small thinking because the reason he does it is because those players are under your control longer than the junior players. You have to have the junior players signed in 2 years or they go back in the draft. So that's one of the reasons he does it that way. So I would say start looking for guys on that same USA program that Jack Hughes was in. You know, Alex Turcott is a guy that is somebody like that. If he was looking for a guy from junior, you got Krebs from Kootenay and you got Cousins from Lethbridge. If he wants a big centerman or something, somebody like that who has some talent, but no matter who you get, I was talking to an executive from the league, and he was saying that he felt there are maybe two players that are going to be ready to play this year, possibly three, and the rest of them aren't players that you can count on this year. So I want to caution people, especially at seven, anybody they draft this year, most likely you're not going to see this season.
Well, then I think that there could be an argument made to say, then use it to get somebody who can play this year. I don't know what that is. There's always a guy around the league who you get surprised that a team's willing to move, right? I mean, they wore out their welcome, their contract, the team's going a different direction as far as their own philosophy. But if that's the case, Paul, then I think there could be an argument made to say, use seven and maybe Ristolainen or something to get something now to help this hockey team.
Well, Botterill's already used one of the number one picks to bring
that's
in a
right.
ready now guy. So
and by the way, I was fine with that. I think that was a good deal he made.
And even if that becomes the St. Louis deal, because then the St. Louis deal becomes O'Reilly and Gouley for Montour, Thompson, and the number two pick. Well, the St. Louis pick would be down in the draft that you'd be getting there. So look at Montour. He's probably better than anybody you're going to draft at 15, 17, 22, 25, whatever it is. He would be a better player than anybody you're going to get there. So I think you've already capitalized on that number one pick by getting Montour. So, I think that was a good move. But the reason I bring that up is you still have two picks. You've got the other first rounder, which would either be St. Louis or San Jose. One of the two you still have. And you've got your own number one pick. I think he's already shown us he's not afraid to do that, especially if you're going to get a young player who's ready now. Absolutely, I think he'd be ready to do that for the right trade.
In case people missed it, New Jersey, then the Rangers, then Chicago. I hated the way that fell, Paul. I hated that, those three teams getting up in the top three like that.
Well, I'm a dinosaur. I just think they should flip the standings and go. Lotteries, forget it. I mean, I suppose it's fun for the 5 minutes it goes on, you have the suspense and all that, but I felt that last year when the Sabres won it. I felt that all along, that it should just be, deal with tanking or whatever it is that you're trying to avoid happening. They're saying, well, with one lottery there was still tanking, so now we got to have three lotteries to avoid tanking and whatever. It's just, I just don't like it. I just would rather it go back to the old way.
Last thing before I let you go, what'd you think about the Bills being put on Thanksgiving this year in Dallas?
Yeah, that'll be cool. I can't even remember the last game. I'm sure I watched it. But
1994 in Detroit.
Yeah, I have no real recollection of it at all. So I think that'll be a lot of fun to have that on Thanksgiving. And it was fun. Micah Hyde, I was chatting with him over at the ballpark the other day.
Yep.
And that was the only game he knew. He goes, I haven't even looked. I know we start against the Jets. I don't think he realized the first two games are both in New York. He goes, I really haven't looked at the schedule, but I know where I'm playing on Thanksgiving. And he goes, I love playing in Dallas. He goes, I've had some really good memories in Dallas. And hopefully I can make another one. And then it was like, well, what about Thanksgiving? I don't want to talk about that.
Yeah, they got smoked, Green Bay and Dallas, when he played there at Thanksgiving.
No, it was the Lions game.
Oh, in Detroit, I meant.
2013.
Yes.
It was the 40-10, I believe, game. And
that's right.
He said it was over by halftime. And he said,
right.
I don't want to talk about that.
And that's, of course, because Micah Hyde is going to be the softball game. The charity event's going to take place on June 2nd. And I know you were over there covering that, and you have an article at the website, WGR550.com. It was media day out there on Thursday. Paul, thank you very much. Hey, have a happy Easter weekend, okay?
I will. I hope you and the listeners do also.
Okay, thank you. Paul Hamilton joining us here. I'm Sal Capaccio, live at Buffalo Sports. Speaking of tanking, he brought up the word tanking. There is an NFL team that everybody says is tanking. I don't know about that. Are the Dolphins tanking? Well, the coaches aren't. The players aren't. But certainly the roster has been stripped down. But here's what I want to do next. Derek O'Derrick back at the station. Are you ready for this? When we come back, we're going to talk Bills and NFL schedule. What I want you to do, Derek, is I want you to get some good NFL music ready. And I want you to go through one by one. We'll go through every Bills opponent. And I will give you some sort of, I don't know, word, line. It'll be like a paraphrase. I'll give you a few sentences on what I think about each opponent this year and where they are going to be. Not necessarily, if the Bills will win or lose the game, but I'll tell you about each opponent and what I think. How's that sound? We good with that? We can do that when we come back. All right, we'll take a timeout, and we'll do that when we come back. You're listening to Sports Talk Saturday Live from Buffalo Sports on McKinley Park. Are we ready to do this?
Let's do this, Sal.
All right. So first of all, let me just give you a couple things on the Bills' schedule, because this thing you know, came out the other day. It was a huge deal. I love this schedule. I do, compared to last year especially. Last year I hated the schedule. This year I love the schedule. I think, you know what, they're getting the games in New York out of the way early. Don't worry about going to New York in December or even November. I've done that at that stadium. It's windy, it's cold, just like Buffalo's. Too many games like that. You throw in the Bills games at home, those cold games. You know what? Give me New York early. New York City in September, beautiful. That's fine. We can go there, all right? On top of that, you get two home afternoon games in September. Last year, we had two total before November. Then you get more of them in October. You get all these home games early, which is great, and then the road games a little bit later. That's what I wanted. You're on Thanksgiving. Amazing. Haven't done that in 25 years, right? It's going to be in Big D in Dallas. The only thing that stinks about that, a lot of you who wanted to go to Dallas for the game this year, obviously that's going to be a little bit more difficult, maybe a lot more difficult because it is on Thanksgiving. The flights, the hotels, things aren't going to be open, whatever. All right, so that might stink, but it is going to be cool for them to be on Thanksgiving. The thing that does stink, they did not get any primetime games. And let me tell you this, I get it. I get why they don't. They haven't been good. The offense hasn't been good. They don't have star players necessarily to put on primetime. I'm fine with that. I have lived through many Bills primetime games. I know why you get primetime games. You get them because you're good. You go to Super Bowls. You're in the playoffs every year. That's what happened back in the day. But I will say the NFL dropped the ball on something here. And the thing they dropped the ball on is this is the 100th anniversary season. They are celebrating it themselves. They are having their own celebration called 100 Original Towns. And the Bills are actually one of them that they're celebrating part of this thing with this year. The Buffalo is, because they're one of the original pro football towns in America from 100 years ago. And they not you should, in that situation, highlight these cities. Highlight, put them on. But the NFL didn't do that. And the Bills are an original AFL team. This is the 50th anniversary of Monday Night Football as well. I mean, they just should have had them somewhere to celebrate what their own doing was and their own agenda was this year, which is to celebrate the original American football cities and towns. And Buffalo is one of them. And they didn't do that. And that's the only thing that bothers me about not having a primetime game, that the NFL missed the boat on having one of its most passionate fan bases for one of the biggest types of celebrations that they're going to have where it totally fits in, and they didn't do it. That's my rant about the schedule. It's over. Now we're going to do it. We're going to get to every team on the Bills schedule. Derek's going to read the team. I'm going to give you a little synopsis of what I think about them. Let's start it off, Derek. What do we got?
Well, let's start it off with the first game with the New York Jets, week one.
I've said this all along about the Bills and Jets. They are in a very, very similar spot, all right? They both have a second-year quarterback they drafted in the first round for, both traded up for, essentially. They both had tons of cap space to go out and try and add the weapons they needed to help those players. They both have pretty good defenses, or at least added to their defense to try and be pretty good, like the Jets did with C.J. Mosley. That was a great, big pickup for them, obviously. The Bills went out and spent most of their money on the offensive side. They picked up 13, you know, offensive free agents, but the Jets and the Bills did a lot of similar things over the last 2 years, I'd say, to build up to this point. And now, I think both teams, you look at Le'Veon Bell, he obviously adds into the Jets. I'm glad the Bills are playing them early with Le'Veon Bell because he might not be in as good a football shape. Word was he ballooned up while he was out, but maybe he'll get back into shape and he'll be better by the end of the year. Beginning of the year, maybe not so much. So from that reason, I'm glad. Now, I will say this. I think Bills fans and Jets fans, if they're not, they should be, looking at this game the same way, which is, ooh, good chance to go 1-0. But that other team might be okay and pretty good, and I don't want to go 0-1 and suddenly think, oh my gosh, where is this season over? But I think the Jets and Bills, great test, great litmus test for both teams, early season matchup. Let's go to number two.
Number two, the Giants. That's aptly fitting.
Yeah, they're at the Giants. Look, I mean, this is a game the Bills need to win because the Giants are a team that just, I don't think they can find their own way right now, right? What are they doing? Are they keeping Eli? Are they not keeping Eli? Are they playing Eli? Are they not playing Eli? Are they drafting a quarterback? Not drafting a quarterback. They take a running back over Sam Darnold in the last draft, which just was not the smart decision, no matter how good Saquon Barkley is going to be. They just don't seem to be finding their own way. They traded not only their best player, but one of the best players in the league when they didn't have to in Odell Beckham Jr. They're not going to be as good of a football team. This is a game the Bills need to win by going to New York. This is not going to be a good Giants team again. I think the Giants are going to have about the similar season they had last year and be picking in the top 10 again next year.
So then we go to the home opener with the Cincinnati Bengals, a good old friend.
The Bengals. Sorry, go ahead.
A good old friend.
Yes, they are. And the Bengals, by the way, good home opener. I like this for a home opener. September 22nd, should be warm out. A game I think, again, the Bills should compete in and have a legitimate chance to win. I think the Bills should be favored by the time they get to this game. That's because I think the Bengals, with a new coach and Zach Taylor, very young, what does he do in the draft? Does he want to move on from Andy Dalton, get his own quarterback in? They are a mess up front. They did not. They lost some players. What did they bring in? Their offensive line seems to be one that's really in flux, and it's going to be very questionable even on defense. They've spent some money, but not necessarily on the most talented of players. They just seem like a franchise that is, again, kind of in a weird spot. Now, which way they want to go? Do they want to try and be better this year? Do they want to try and go the other way and build for the future? And the Bills need to take advantage of a team like that. So I think the Cincinnati Bengals are a team that could go either way, but to me, is going to be a team on the back end again this year. I don't think they're going to be very good overall.
Well, now we go to Emperor Palpatine. I mean the New England Patriots.
The evil empire, right? We should change the music to that because that's what they still are. And look, I will say this about the Patriots. They have lost some talent. There's no doubt about that. They lost their starting left tackle, Trent Brown. They lost their swing tackle to the Bills, by the way, Adrian Waddle. They've had some changes. They lost their defensive end, Trey Flowers. They have had some guys who've left. They have a quarterback who is aging, who did show some signs of that last year. They did lose Chris Hogan. Not a huge loss, but just showing you they have lost some guys. Rob Gronkowski, of course, the biggest name of this group, who did retire. So they are deficient on some talent. They weren't in a great salary cap spot. They couldn't go out and get all the players that they necessarily wanted. There were rumors they wanted Adam Humphries. Nope, he signed with Tennessee. There were rumors they wanted Cole Beasley. Nope, he signed with the Buffalo Bills. So I think the Patriots, you know, I'm not saying that they're ready to be overtaken, but I do think that they're not going to be as good, but they still should be the class of the AFC East until somebody can figure it out because they still have Bill Belichick, they still have Tom Brady. Again, I'm not declaring them dead by any stretch of the imagination, and I would still bet on them to win the AFC East. Anybody would and should, and they're one of the teams to bet on to win the Super Bowl as of now in Vegas. But the bottom line is the New England Patriots, I don't think, are going to be as good as last year, especially early in the season.
All right, then, moving on to the Tennessee Titans.
All right, the Tennessee Titans. Boy, I think they could be pretty good, and they showed some signs last year. They played some tough football, but they came to Buffalo. They were inconsistent last year. They lost that game to the Bills on a last-second field goal, but it looks like Mike Vrabel's trying to do it the Bill Belichick way there, and we'll see where they go, but it's all about the quarterback with them, isn't it? It's all about the quarterback. It's all about Marcus Mariota. What happens with Marcus? I don't think he's an elite quarterback or upper echelon. He's in that second or even third group maybe. He could do some nice things, but you know what? He turns the ball over. He doesn't have the strongest of arms. He keeps you in games with his athleticism, his accuracy, things like that, but it's all about the quarterback. We'll see where they are at quarterback. This is a pretty good team, though, and the Bills will have a tough go of it at Tennessee. That's a tough spot to be in before they go to their bye week, though. All right, so what we're going to do now, we'll take a timeout. We'll finish this up when we get a chance in the next segment or hour or so because we got a guest coming up. After this timeout, it is Chris Mathias with Western New York Lacrosse, who's got a big program coming up that we want you to know about. Your youth lacrosse parent or coach, and you want to get involved with this, and it fits right in with what we're doing today at Buffalo Sports. So I'll get to the rest of the schedule a little bit later, and Chris Mathias from the Western New York youth lacrosse coming up next after this timeout on WGR. So here's my philosophy, basically, with my son, who's 5 years old. Play everything, and let's figure out what you like, right? That's why we love being here at Buffalo Sports today, because so much going on. We got all this different equipment for all the different stuff. And, you know, I just signed him up for flag football. I also signed him up for lacrosse. And I don't know how he's going to do, but we have a couple lacrosse sticks at home, and he loves playing, so we're going to see how that works out. And one of the guys that I've come across, I got to know, that's part of youth lacrosse and promoting that throughout Western New York, I figured would really fit in today because it's a really good thing they have going on. And that is Chris Mathias, and he is on Twitter at Western New York Lacrosse, WNY Lacrosse. And he joins me right now on the West Her Hotline. Chris, it's Sal over here at Buffalo Sports today. Thanks for coming on today, and hopefully we can give you a little bit of love and pub here on what you got going on for these kids.
Yeah, thanks, Sal, for the opportunity. I appreciate it a lot.
Yeah, no problem. So tell us a little bit about Youth Lacrosse Day, which is coming up on May 25th.
Right. So on April 30th, Councilman Scanlon will issue a proclamation declaring, or maybe just shouting from the council chambers, that May 25th will be Youth Lacrosse Day in Buffalo. And this coincides with the NCAA lacrosse semifinals, you know, the Final Four of college lacrosse, which is a very exciting time for all lacrosse fans. And the foundation, the West New York Lacrosse Foundation, is hosting a fundraising gathering for lacrosse fans of all ages at 716 to watch the games and raise some money for youth lacrosse programs in Western New York. We've got lots of raffle items, free posters for the kids, free pizza and wings, hopefully some local sports celebrities, quote unquote. You could fall into that category, Sal.
I could, it sounds pretty exciting, and maybe I will, because it'll be my first foray kind of into the sport, really, as an active participant and not just a watcher now that my son's signed up.
Exactly. And it's great for the kids to see, you know, the game played at that level. And for adults who haven't watched a lot, it's really fun to see. Being the playoffs, you know, the Final Four, it's just as exciting as, you know, NHL hockey or Final Four basketball, whatever. You know, the games are great, competitive. You know, it's just a fun thing to do. So we thought we'd try to gather everyone together, do some great raffle stuff. We got some donations from some colleges all across the country, actually, and people
ready. And you know what, Chris, I know you're going to be looking for more people to help out as well. What if somebody says, you know what, I think this is a great idea, I want to help out. What do they do?
Yeah, actually, it's funny you mentioned that. I was going to say this. If there's corporations, companies, individuals that would like to buy tickets and donate them, that would be great, because then we can get them in the hands of families, kids that you know, are enthusiastic and fans of the game and would really appreciate the opportunity to watch on the big screen down at 716 and get some prizes and have an opportunity to watch with some friends.
How would they go about doing that?
You have to register. Registration is where you get your tickets, online at WNYLacrosseFoundation.org. We need to have everyone registered by May 12th, 15th, so we can get a head count for 716. So register, buy your tickets online. Anyone can do this. Again, it's WNYLacrosseFoundation.org. And we hope we can get a lot of people down there to support youth lacrosse. We're going to share the money with a lot of organizations throughout Western New York and watch the game, have some fun.
Yeah, you know, when I was in high school, lacrosse, I don't even know what the sport was, really. We didn't have that here in Western New York that much. And suddenly, I think it kind of, you know, it took hold a little bit more in Central New York, and then it moved over here to Western New York. It's becoming a much, much bigger sport now, and so many schools, so many kids are starting to play it. But, you know, there's still a lot of growth to be had, and I know that the equipment is sometimes either hard to come by or more expensive. There's a lot of ways to do that. We're here at one of the places today, Buffalo Sports, that people can do that. But, you know, why the explosion of lacrosse here in this area, and how far do we still need to go here? But why has it, you know, kind of gotten to this point over the last 10, 15 years, and where are we going with it?
Well, the nationwide lacrosse has been the fastest, if not the fastest, certainly the top two or three team sports in the country for well over a decade now. It's grown tremendously in the South and the West, and certainly in Western New York. It's been around for quite a while. Traditionally, though, you know, suburban schools and the private schools, and now it's really taken over, you know, a lot of different schools. So you've got schools like DePew that are putting together teams. You've got Buffalo Public Schools, which now has a competitive team. It's just growing, and organizations like ours, certainly other people out there too, but doing what we can to expose kids to the game. I mean, our whole goal is to provide opportunity, access, and diversity to the game, and take it into the communities where kids that normally wouldn't be have a chance can get exposed to the game. And we do that in a lot of different ways through, you know, ourselves or through partnerships with people we work with too. So it's just a fun game, and you know, kids just weren't aware of it, and now, you know, we're helping bring that awareness to the kids.
And now, and by the way, after I got out of high school, I went to Syracuse University, so you know I was darn well aware of lacrosse once I got to Syracuse, and I said, man, this is a sport I should have played. You know, I was a fast, coordinated guy. I mean, this is a sport kind of, no matter what your size is, there's something for everybody. That's what I find cool about it.
Absolutely. You know, it's not based on, you don't have to be the 6'5" guy. You can be tall, short, you know, based on a lot of it on skills. And we just want kids to start playing because there's a lot of opportunity out there now, because more high schools have added programs and colleges certainly adding them like crazy, boys and girls. Great opportunity to start playing when you're young, and you can take it right on through college.
Yeah, and by the way, thank you for saying that. Boys and girls, this is a sport for both genders. It's been growing for both genders. There's a lot of great high school lacrosse for both boys and girls. You're involved in all this. I want to throw your Twitter account out there. I want people to know where they can find you. They can help out. It's LAXWNY, L-A-X-W-N-Y on Twitter. And, of course, it is going to be May 25th down at 716, free pizza and wings. Raffle items. It is Youth Lacrosse Day, and that is going to be in coinciding with the national semifinals, the Final Four, going on that weekend with the NCAA lacrosse too. So, Chris, thanks for doing this, all of it, and thanks for all you're doing for the community. And hopefully, we can get some people involved in this this growing sport.
Absolutely, thanks, Sal. I appreciate it so much, and I hope to see a lot of people down there.
All right, thank you very much. That's Chris Mathias, Western New York Youth Lacrosse. By the way, go to the website, WNYLacrosseFoundation.org. I thought that he would really fit in today with what he's doing, and I came across him when I was kind of doing some stuff with my own son and Max, getting him involved. And, you know, this is a sport that I've always been intrigued about, but I never played. My son will be playing. I'll be watching him. But, you know, we started talking about the game itself, and I saw what he had going on. I said, that's really cool. And I've always been a proponent of youth sports. I think kids should play as much as they can, play as many sports as you can, figure it out later. That's my philosophy with my son. And we all hear about baseball and hockey in Western New York, of course, and all these other sports that we have going on. And lacrosse is one of those ones that's kind of getting up there. And I'm still learning the game myself in a lot of different ways. I've been around the game a lot more, obviously, since I went to Syracuse, since I've been doing, you know, calling sports and things like that. We're going to the Bandits game tonight. I'm taking Max there. It's going to be really cool. And you can go to WNYLacrosseFoundation.org, not only to take part in what's going on, but maybe even help out if you're part of a business or just want to donate or help a kid, a family in need who wants to, you know, get involved in that sport. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. And when we do, we're going back to the NFL draft, and it's R.J. White from CBS Sports who's going to join me. And don't worry, I didn't forget about the rest of that schedule. I'll get to that, too.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.